thanks for joining us for this episode. And I'm really excited to share part of this conversation that I had with Pastor Tom Brennan. We found something that we disagreed on. And so he was more than willing to have a conversation to discuss his thoughts on the use of media in churches, as well as the Christian world in general. Again, he and I do not agree on everything. That's why this is a really interesting conversation to share with you. I'm really looking forward to sharing this with you today. My name is Luke Clayton, and welcome to the Must Increase podcast. Yeah, and I think a lot of it goes back to, again, like I said, just how practically you laid it out. Like, are you appealing more to emotion or to intellect? I think that's an honest question that everyone can ask themselves. Is, you know, what are you gearing your, whether it's your sermon or your music or whatever it is, what are you trying to appeal to?
So then you go back to my tweet and you find some, not all, but some of the genesis of my frustration. Because so often television and even Christian television appeals to, it's not teaching truth, it's not discussing truth, it's not portraying truth or modeling truth. Some is, and I do have an issue, like The Chosen, for example, that's portraying the life of Jesus Christ. My issue with that is not that it's emotional versus intellectual. My issue with that is I think it's doctrinally compromised. That's a different discussion, or maybe another aspect of this discussion. But essentially, it is this idea of we're going to entertain you, we're going to amuse you, we're going to make you laugh, we're going to get you involved in our lives where you care about us. It's a much cleaner version of a soap opera where we get ourselves emotionally invested with these characters that they're portraying. And but it's empty, it's vain, it's vapid, there's no substance there, and it's not how God designed for us to use our time to consume mindless, this is going to sound harsh, I don't mean this harsh, to consume mindless drivel, right? Yeah. I'm not against all entertainment. I'm not against all amusement. I'm not saying that all of it is wrong. You need to rest your mind sometimes, like you need to rest your body. But that's not where our society is at. Our society is not amusing itself because it needs to rest its mind. It's amusing itself to death is what it's doing.
Yeah. And again, this idea of amusing ourselves to death, that is a harsh way of putting it, but it's unfortunately very true. You know, the average, one of the other kind of stats that I've stumbled on in the past is that the average family, and I don't know how you want to, you know, that can be a single person family or, you know, kid family with kids, but the average family in terms of just television, we talked about screens and a lot of that screens, like it has to do with handheld screens and social media and kind of personal consumption, but the average family is spending 5 hours a day just watching television. And that, again, if I, like I said, going back to the beginning of the conversation, if I could just snap my fingers and change that, you know, just in whether it's good content or bad content, if I could just reduce the amount of consumption, I would, you know, but they're doing it.
One of the interesting things to me about, and I'm not saying that I have all the answers, but I was raised in a home without a television, and television obviously existed when I was born and has existed all my life. My parents chose not to own one. It wasn't just that they limited its use. We didn't even have one in the house. One of the fringe benefits of that is we read a lot. We haunted the library. Yeah. We brought books home because if we were going to do something, you know, we had to read a book. If we were going to amuse our minds, we had to read a book. When you watch something, you don't have to think near as much as when you read something. Even fiction, for example. When you read fiction, you have to think about, what does that room look like? What do those characters look like? Yeah. What do those voices sound like? You have to build all of that in your mind. You're using your mind so much more. And especially when you're primarily reading nonfiction or some form of that, if I could use the word muscles, your mind muscles, your ability to think expands. When you watch something, most of the time, you're not thinking. Amuse, the word amuse means literally without thought. Right. Because muse means thought, means without thought. So the more I spend watching something and watching other people do something, the less time I'm spending thinking, Doesn't mean I should never watch something. Doesn't mean I should always be contemplating sinners in the hands of an angry God. But there is great value and benefit to ensuring that the media that I consume and that I allow those within my influence to consume and the media forms that I choose to use should somehow produce or generate thought. When they do that, then I know I'm on the intellectual motion to will line, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, obviously, just about anybody out there would say, ooh, you know, eliminating television from my household. That seems like a bit of an extreme reaction. But you know, I could totally follow what you're saying. Like, look, like if you aren't able to even watch, then you will find other ways to fill your time and you maybe find yourself doing it in productive ways. And I can say personally, I used to watch a lot more television than I do. And just the past few years, I've been like, I mean, for me personally, and I think this is happening a lot from what I've heard, I kind of get a little burnout on it. You know, it was kind of like, okay, I'm just streaming from show to show to show. I've been guilty of, especially during the pandemic, you know, a lot of people were doing that. And so for me personally, just to kind of take a step back and like, I'm still viewing a few things here and there. It's not like I'm completely, again, eradicated it from my life. But it all goes back to, we are consuming too much, good, bad, or indifferent content. We're consuming too much and there are better ways to fill your time. Like you said reading and things like that. I completely agree. Now, when it comes to The Chosen in particular, you brought that up and I do want to talk about it just for a moment. I'm not sure how much of it you've seen. At this point, they're 3 seasons in. I believe they said they're going to do a total of 6 seasons. As of now, it has been viewed worldwide 400 million times. It's done very well. And you know, obviously we can't sit here and be dishonest. Like, they are, first of all, making a profit. They have a very interesting business model. But they are still making a profit. The actors, the crew, they are getting paid. They are not doing this out of the necessarily goodness of my heart. Now, they might be missionally driven. I believe the creator of the series seems to be very missionally driven in particular. Many of the actors, not all, many of the actors are believers. Some of them are Catholic. And like you said, there are behind the scenes. There are Mormons even involved with the production of it. And again, I don't know how much of it you have seen as of now. With what I know about the Gospels and the story that's telling, of course, they are embellishing it with fictionalized side stories. And like you said, they're making the characters, you know, they're taking some creative liberties. As of now, though, I have seen nothing on the show that is truly counter and inaccurate. It's not counter to what happened. It's accurate. And as of now, the message is that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived as God in the form of man, and he is God. And I do know from behind the scenes, again, Mormons take a little bit of issue with being that hard on the deity of Christ. And the Dallas Jenkins, the director, creator of the show, said, I appreciate you guys coming along to fund this, but that will be the message of this series. And they said, okay, that's fine. They're, from what I understand, their heart, the Mormon studio behind it, Angel Studios, their heart is more, we just want to get, you know, good content out in the world, even if it doesn't align with what we teach exactly. All that to say and ask, like, for me to say that is a complete waste, reaching 400 million people at this time. And sure, many of those are, I don't know what the spread is. I'm sure many of those are people who are already Christian. And many of those are going to be, though, potentially people who are not and who are being exposed to the life and eventually death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For me to say that's a complete waste of time and effort, again, also considering that people are going to be watching something, my idea is, why not watch this?
I think you measure too soon.
Okay.
So if your measurement of the effectiveness and wisdom of that series is the fact that 400 million people have watched it, the I'm much more concerned about where it's going versus where it's at. And this may be I don't think I'm old, but sometimes I think old. This may be an old guy answer. I have seen ministries sincerely birthed out of a desire to offer some good alternative, et cetera, et cetera. But as I understand the word of God, if those ministries are not, if they're not birthed out of and led by and controlled by, and I mean those terms, a local church, they inevitably end up in doctrinal compromise. So if I have these 400 million people, of course, a lot of those are just watchers. They're not, you know, even in the sense of committed followers of the show. But let's say there's 50 million committed followers of the show. I'm just pulling numbers out of the air, so if that show, if those creators end up either being led astray by the monetary motive or being led astray by pushback from different people who are participating in it, creators, writers, actors, funders, you know, pushed in a compromised direction, then this block of people that is committed to that show is going to go in the same direction. And this probably doesn't sound like it's a sufficiently big enough reason to deny that people should watch the show in the first place. But I don't want to know just where something is at. I want to know where it's taking people. So where it's taking individual people is into a fictionalized, your word, into a fictionalized concept of Jesus. Well, I got a huge problem with that in the short term. In the long term, where is it going to take them in their concept of Jesus and in who he is and what he does? You know, this is. I don't want to liken this to the community church downtown here in Dubuque that sponsors the Gay Pride Parade and still proclaims itself to be Christian, but if it's not fenced in biblically, it has a great tendency to wander in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
and maybe this is the conservative independent Baptist in me that says I don't trust it. I just don't. I just don't see any profit in it. I just don't. I don't. Okay, Paul said, and this is biblical, and I agree with Paul, not just begrudgingly. I agree with Paul. Paul said, whether in pretense or in truth Christ is preached, I rejoice therein and will rejoice, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure I can apply that passage to this show because I'm not sure they're actually preaching Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right? Is the show, I'm asking here for rhetorical effect, but also I guess factually, is the show portraying the fact that all of us are lost and we need to put our faith and trust in this Jesus Christ in order to get to heaven? Or is it just a fictionalized version of his life?
Yeah, well, let me provide some context to fictionalized. By fictionalized, I was talking more about really any of the, there are, for example, Peter was married. We know that scripturally. One of the more, in the most recent season, they fictionalized that that Peter's wife got pregnant and had a miscarriage. There's no sort of biblical basis that that happened. I will say this, though. They are not fictionalizing Jesus. Jesus is actually one of the, and maybe we could take issue with this, it's one of the less dominant characters of the show, actually. Now, don't get me wrong. It's about Jesus, but the title of the show is The Chosen. So the idea is these are the disciples and the people that he has chosen to follow him. And that tends to be, and so yes, there's you know, Peter and the disciples, and Nicodemus has made an appearance, and these different characters that interact with Jesus. Now, Jesus, again, don't get me wrong, he's portrayed, he's there. By and large, what I've noticed, everything about Jesus, is they're very careful to say, hey, like any words that he says, and it's not, again, you have to, if when you're creating a script, you have to create potentially dialogue he never said, obviously. The crux, though, of any scene that contains Jesus, the crux of it is actual content from scripture, words he said in the Bible, things that happen in the Bible. The embellishments happen with characters that are not Jesus. Also, to answer your question about does this portray, this does portray, the show does portray sinners coming to Jesus. The first episode actually is Mary Magdalene, and it shows her struggling with her demons and essentially, you know, Jesus helping her find deliverance from that. And that kind of sets the tone, and he's calling, you know, they definitely portray Peter as, you know, really the person we picture in scripture as the outspoken, you know, maybe a little bit, even at times rude and, you know, putting his foot in his mouth, that type of Peter. And they are portraying these as flawed people that without Jesus Christ would continue to be flawed and do nothing, but because they follow Jesus, that makes all the difference. That really has been the message. Now, I think you are, you have a good argument that we haven't really seen where this has gone yet. According to the creators, we're halfway through their master plan. They're going to do 6 seasons. We're at 3. I will say,
if they're making money, they're going to figure out some way to.
They'll figure out some type of spinoff perhaps, or things to continue the story. And you know, maybe they'll continue into the Book of Acts with the whatever. I don't know. Yeah. And you're right. If they stick by that, and I know it's an if, it would be very hard for me to see how they would somehow start to truly compromise their doctrine and theology as far as the deity of Christ, who he is, why he came, based on what they've already done. And again, in fairness, it's probably too soon to tell. And that technically it is. But again, for me, it's hard to see how they could. Now, if after the fact, let's say they stick to their 6-season plan, it's done. They stay accurate. They never, you know, stray theologically. They portray, again, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ accurately. All of that stuff. Again, we've yet to see those aspects of it. And yes, maybe one day, you know, the guy who, you know, directed the show, created the show, or one of the producers goes off and he creates something else that's, you know, not, you know, that doesn't line up theologically or whatever. Because a lot of these guys, yeah, they act in, like actors especially, they get into a show like this and they're just trying to break into the acting world. And they're then they'll go off and, yes, exactly. That doesn't change the fact that the show has still exists and is, if you will, immortalized. As a potentially accurate depiction of Christ that brings people to him.
So let me ask you this. Does the show tell the story of Jesus and the apostles, or does it preach? Does it preach Christ? Do you understand the difference?
I do.
I don't mean that question insultingly.
No, I hear you.
Because God didn't tell me to go into all the world and tell stories about Jesus. There is a very necessary component of personal confrontation with, here's who Jesus is, now what are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just something I watch. It's not just something I sit down on my couch and I got my popcorn and I got my beverage and it's time for the show. I think that is a dangerous concept. Even greater than I'm going to do that with church. We don't even stream our services here at Bible Baptist Church in Dubuque because there's several reasons why, but one is because I don't want to contribute to this mindset that church is something I watch.
Yeah. And
it's
that's
not something you watch.
Yeah.
It's something you're part of. And mm-hmm. I can certainly admit that I may potentially be wrong about this and I may get myself to heaven. I might not even wait for heaven. I may, you know, in 5 years realize that I was just wrong about this. And I try not to be reactionary. Having said that, I know that I can be. And so maybe I'm just being reactionary. Maybe I'm just, you know, being a curmudgeon. But I just don't see the long-term redeeming value in comparison with all of the potential negative side effects of even this best example of the television shows I threw up in a casual tweet a month ago. And this is the best one of the bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you would be right in that it is the best example for our discussion. That's for sure. And you know, to kind of go back to what you were asking there, does it tell a story or preach Christ? Well, here's what I would wonder. Okay. When we say preach Christ, preach the gospel, you know, preach is, it's been a while since I took my Greek classes way back when I went to a Bible college. But if I remember right, it's the same, the Greek there is the same word to proclaim, to right. publish. And here would be what I said. I would, my answer is, I believe it does preach Christ. I believe it proclaims him and who he is. And yes, it's telling a story, because then I would ask, well, then why did the New Testament spend, you know, four gospels? And I believe, you know, really when we look at content wise, half or if not more of the New Testament is actually the story of Christ and the first century church, the gospels and Acts. That's a story. Now there's, you know, moments of obviously Sermon on the Mount, Jesus preaching and messages being shared there and, you know, at Pentecost and things like this, but it is a story. And story in and of itself, to me, communicates, preaches, proclaims, publishes the truth of the gospel. I mean, preachers stand all the time, as they should, using illustrations to make their point. Jesus uses parables to make his point. I don't know.
But look, they're making a point. They're not just telling a story. The chosen is just telling a story. There's no one making a point with the story. There's certainly no personal interaction with any of the viewers. There's no follow up. Do you understand what we showed you and why this is important, why this matters, and how this impacts your life? And if they were chasing it up even with a website that said, come here and get some Bible studies, I would maybe be slightly less critical, probably not, but
okay.
Maybe slightly. You know, I just don't, they're presenting an entertaining with a built-in target audience that's huge, right? There's more quote-unquote Christians in the world than any other religion,
yeah.
Even the Muslims. Especially if you count Catholics as part of that total.
Yep, absolutely.
And so there's a huge, and they proved it by the crowdfunding aspect of it, that yeah. There's a desire for it, right? And so there's this I hate to assign motives because I can't see anybody's heart, but there's this, put my finger into the wind. Oh, look how many viewers I can get if I go this way. Look how much attention I can get if I go this way. And then let me tell these stories and get everybody all excited about the story. But I've leached from it everything that is demanding, everything that is confronting, everything that is designed to force me to see who Jesus is in relation to me and my sin. It's just like Aesop's fables. It's like, you know, and I don't mean to say that they're saying it's fiction, but it's just a story we tell with maybe a moral at the end of it somewhere. I don't know. It's like a grown-up VeggieTales.
Yeah.
That's not edifying.
What is then, well, obviously, well, this is a bad question to ask as I'm starting to ask it, but obviously scripture's, scripture's inspired. Okay. But again, the gospels tell the story of Jesus.
Okay, they tell the story, right? But how is that story, when God wrote the Bible, what did he tell us to do with the Bible? To read it, to study it, to meditate on it, and to preach and teach it. But all of those are somehow taking those stories and confronting the individual. Paul's statement in Hebrews that the word of God is a sword that pierces even the dividing center, soul and spirit, discerner the thoughts and intents of the heart, right? It gets right down to where we live, pulls apart our lives and our vanity and all of that, and inserts itself into us, into our consciousness. We can't escape it. We can't avoid it. We can't get away from it. Stories, the stories of the gospels of Jesus, of the early church in the book of Acts, those are designed to be read, studied, meditated on, preached, taught, not just told. This is not a upmarket 21st century version of the wandering peddler coming through town who also, you know, spins a great tale at the inn while somebody keeps his mug filled with beer and everybody says, oh, isn't this great to hear these stories of the old days? That's a whole different thing. That's not what God designed the Bible to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I find myself, as we have this conversation, as we leading into this conversation, I find myself agreeing wholeheartedly with everything you've said about how, for example, we are commanded to preach the gospel, to teach his word, to teach the word of God. That's what we're supposed to do. And I still believe that the most effective way to do that is to open the Word of God, stand behind a pulpit, if you will, and thus saith the Lord, preach. You know, I think that that has been the, if you will, the biblical method that God has given to us as his primary vehicle to reaching the world. And also, though, through, like you said, one-on-one discipleship and conversation and things like that,
right.
Very personal, you know, not something right. That is just a one, because that is the thing about a screen. It is one-way communication. Now, to take the chosen and pin that, take it off the table for just a moment. Sure. I'm going to simplify this example down to something that is very, that I have personally been a part of. So I haven't done this in years just because for me, it became about a production cost and, you know, just is the juice worth the squeeze, if you will. But I have had a role in leading production on short films that have been used at churches at Easter and Christmas time. I didn't come up with that idea. Another church came up with that idea. I took it and I ran with it and made it my own. And I've used it at, you know, was able to be used at different churches. That essentially what happens there is we make this, it's about 10 to 12 minutes long in total. It's shown in little pieces, incorporated with music and things like that, you know, songs throughout. And then the pastor stands up and utilizes that video that they just watched, which is just a story. The ones that I made were just simply a retelling of the story of Jesus, of his resurrection, of, you know, pieces from his life and leading up to his crucifixion, things like that. But then the pastor would stand and he would say, hey, you know, that's my illustration. Now, yes, here's the application. Here's how that applies to you. And here's the truth. I have also heard that many churches are doing that with the chosen. They're taking the content that's produced and they're encouraging their people to watch it. And then they're having conversations around that. And it's a powerful way for the stories that they've read to be illustrated. And then they are using it. Now, of the 400 million viewers out there, probably a very small percentage have been able to have it applied in that way. But there is that opportunity. And this is why, you know, I created back again, going back to the little, very low-end content that I produced.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I created that knowing that, look, I am only doing part of the work here. I am telling the story. I am trying to bring the scriptures to life in some way. I'm going to make it available to a pastor, to a church, and they can do as they please with it. As far as the application, the drawing of the net, if you will, that's on them. But I've given them what I believe to be a very powerful tool and, you know, again, powerful visual illustration that they can use to effectively communicate the gospel and bring people to Christ, have a part in bringing people to Christ. That's how I saw it. And again, I don't know everything about the chosen and the creators and whatever, but I do know that the guy who created it, Dallas Jenkins, he is talented enough to where if he wanted to be in Hollywood, he probably could be, but he has chosen this route of creating this content. And yeah, no, he's making money. Like, don't get me wrong. At this point, he's making money. But if he was in, you don't know the motives. I don't know the motives. Seems to me, if he wanted to truly just make money, he would just say, hey, Hollywood, and maybe he'll do this one day, but he would say, hey, Hollywood, I'm good. Hire me. And I'll get to do what I'm good at and I'll make good money doing it much better. And again, we can't know the motives and stuff, but I have heard him in interviews say something to that effect of, look, I'm only doing part of the work. You know, obviously ultimately God and the Holy Spirit have to do their work, but you know, if somebody can take this and use this as a tool to, for example, hey, maybe I have a friend who they're not going to set foot in church, good, bad, or indifferent. They're just not going to do it. But they might watch a show. Hey, I got this show I want you to watch, and then I'd love to talk about it if you'd like. That scenario is playing out. I don't have the numbers. I don't have the data on that, but it's happening. And it's, to me, it's, if nothing else, introducing conversations that maybe wouldn't have been had, introducing Jesus to people that otherwise maybe didn't know him at all, or their perception of him was warped by maybe some type of, you know, wrong religious, you know, view of him or whatnot. And so for me, that's why it's hard for me to say, well, it's not edifying. It's a waste of time. It is very hard for me because, you know, God, you know, if Christ be preached, I mean, like you said, that verse, if Christ be preached, you know, then to me, it's a win, no matter what method they're doing it by or what maybe some of the motivation is behind it. If Christ be preached. And that's maybe I take an extreme position on that because that's how I feel about a lot of stuff when it comes to, again, going back to styles of worship, styles of preaching, right. You know, things like that. If Christ be preached, because Paul's like, look, I got hurt by some of these guys. These guys burned me. But you know what? If Christ be preached. And to me, that's what matters.
One of the reasons that I consented to have this conversation with you was because I don't think we're necessarily at the same place. There is obviously a lot we agree on that we have agreed on over the past hour or so, but I find great value in people who view things differently than me, who can challenge me thoughtfully, not, you know, just ranting and raving and insulting, which you've done none of those. And so I am listening to you. I guess I'm listening to you. I'm not persuaded. I'm not convinced. But I also understand that I'm human enough and I'm fallible enough and I know my own flaws, I think, to some extent, that I can instinctively be against things that I shouldn't. And so I need to make sure that I'm filtering that, if you will. And so you help me with that. But I guess it comes down to, in summary, didn't plan to land on this verse, but if Christ is preached, so is it Christ? Is it really who is portrayed in the Word of God? And is he being preached? If those two things happen, I'll be thrilled if I am soul winning, I don't know, a year from now and I knock on somebody's door and somebody says, you know what? I was dead set against the Bible, dead set against religion, dead set against God, started watching this show. And well, I tell you what, I realized I was all wrong and all those stories were right and true. And I'd love to hear more about Jesus. I hope that happens to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you say earlier? I'm not sure the juice is worth the squeeze. I'm not sure what comes out of it at the end that is potentially negative. I'm not sure it's worth what comes out of it at the end that's potentially positive. I'm not the person that I'll answer to.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And, you know, I'm with you. Like, I do appreciate you being willing to have this conversation once again, because we align on some things and other things we clearly defer. And I don't think either one of us were like, we're going to change this guy's mind. That's not what this about. Have an honest conversation. And you have given me things to think about as well and to consider. And yes, is the juice worth the squeeze thing for me, by and large, on a small scale, once again, is why at this time, I've not continued to pursue producing content like that. It's not that I don't believe it was effective. It's that I thought, you know, first of all, just from a purely business perspective, it is a lot more efficient for me to sit here and, you know, I can make, you know, probably 50 or more church websites with the same amount of time, effort, finances, resources that's required to make maybe a 5-minute video like that, you know?
Right.
So for me, that's a much better use of my time, my resources, where I'm at right now. It doesn't mean that one day, maybe it will make more sense financially. And like I said, as far as my time and everything for me to do that, but that is why, again, I'm going to reemphasize what we kind of started a lot of our conversation with is if there are pastors, church leaders out there, even fathers and people leading their families who think that it is sufficient for you to put on The Chosen or VeggieTales or the Christian, you know, TV content and say, you know, in the home environment and say, I'm leading my family to, you know, to follow Christ. No, you're not. And the same thing with a pastor who says, I'll just play The Chosen every week for, which I don't think there's any pastor doing that. Maybe there's somebody. I'll just play an episode of The Chosen every week for church. You know, no, that is not, if it's anything, and I believe the creators by and large believe this as well, it is supplemental. to the primary vehicle for preaching and teaching the gospel, which is the actual, you know, leadership of a pastor or a father in their home and their church, actually personally teaching the word of God to their family. I think we can both agree on that.
I do. I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, again, you've been very generous with your time. I really appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation with you. Any final thoughts, closing words? You know, you haven't been insulting yet, but man, you want to get them in. Now's the time. You can get your jabs in.
No, I'll wait till I get on Twitter for that.
nice.
No, I, you know, for the folks that are listening, I would just encourage you to be thoughtful in how you consume media. And also for those of you that are listening that have influence others over others, I would urge you to be thoughtful in how you use media to influence others. Just be thoughtful with those things. Think about the long-term consequences and where it's going to go. Do those thoughtfully.
Yeah. And unfortunately, media, especially social media, doesn't really encourage thoughtfulness. It's more encouraging of impulsiveness. And doesn't matter who you are, where you're at, being thoughtful in general, when it comes to what you're consuming and also what you're creating, that's something definitely to always consider. But well, again, Pastor Brennan, I thank you so much for your time. If you want to connect with him, see his website again, that's going to be in the show notes. Hey, maybe we'll continue this conversation in a few years when The Chosen's wrapped up, and we'll see where it all, how it all turned out.
Sounds good.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this episode. And remember to subscribe on YouTube, where you can actually watch video versions of each episode. Of course, you can follow the audio version on Apple Podcast, and Spotify actually has the video version. I don't mention that very often, so you can actually watch the video there as well. And if you want to connect with me, be sure to head over to mustincrease.com to see what we do for churches, businesses, and beyond. We are really glad that you joined us, and we look forward to seeing you next time as we continue to increase truth and inspire hope right here on the Must Increase podcast.